As more districts welcome students back to the classroom, I'm joined by Chris Cotterman, Director of Governmental Relations with the Arizona School Boards Association. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Lauren.
So what are you hearing? I mean, is Phoenix Union an outlier here? Do you expect or have you heard that other districts are planning to take similar approaches here?
Well, I think that most districts obviously aren't going to telegraph what they're doing without knowing what's going on with Phoenix Union. But I think that a lot of districts are watching Phoenix Union. I would suspect specifically the feeder districts that feed into Phoenix Union, the K-8 districts. And, you know, if they are able to enforce this, at least in the short term, there may be others that decide that that's what they need to do as well. I think it largely depends on what the sort of state of mind of your community is. And Phoenix Union's had a very supportive community pretty much throughout the pandemic.
Well, that enforcement seems to be the big issue, right? Because as we just heard from Rocio Hernandez, the governor's office has said this is basically unenforceable. You can say it all you want, but you can't really do anything about it. Is this, in your mind, headed for some kind of legal showdown or other kind of showdown? Do you think that the district will be able to enforce this without repercussions?
Yeah, that's the big question. I honestly don't know. I think that there is no built-in penalty for this specific statute. I think that there are some political consequences that may come. We know that the legislators that enacted this law are not happy about this. And so come January, we may see some more legislation that would be aimed to punish school districts that do defy this law. But I don't see a clear path where a district could be sanctioned in some monetary way for not complying at this time. But, you know, as with everything, politics is key. And the legislature, I don't think, is going to be too kindly to this. But as the superintendent said, districts are in a fairly untenable position right now because they have to their communities are asking them to do something in a lot of ways, in a lot of places.
Well, so let's say that this policy is allowed to be enforced to the extent that it needs to be. And enforcement, I guess, would to some extent require that somebody challenges this, right? That somebody shows up to school without a mask and refuses to put one on. If that happens and if the district is allowed to enforce it, how widespread do you think that could become among Arizona districts?
You know, I think it's going to break down along lines of what we saw earlier. I think when we opened last year, there are districts that were adamant that masks would be worn. There were other districts that took a more sort of permissive approach in terms of being optional, at least towards the end of the year. And I think that, like I said before, it's going to break down a lot. Like you see your Chandlers, your Queen Creeks, which have active parents in sort of the no mask camp, which were in the news a lot last year. It's going to be a lot harder for those boards than it would be for like a Phoenix Union, for, you know, a Creighton Elementary, for those places. And it's really unfortunate that that's how it is, but that's just how I see it playing out, that, you know, districts are going to make a calculation based on what they think the parents in their district will tolerate. Because what we don't want to do is go back to police and board meetings, disruptions, things like that. That was not a good place for board members to be. And no one's eager to go back there, but they're going to have to take some action, I think, at least where they can.
In theory, though, isn't that what a governing board should be looking at, is what the parents, what the families in that district want?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that the problem with the pandemic has been there's a split obligation to the voters and the parents in the district and the students. And so what we have here is this thing we don't usually get that often, which is parents telling the district that they want one thing, which is directly contrary to what the experts in public health are telling them they need to do. And so the big challenge for this has been, you know, do we go with popular majority when in fact that popular majority decision is the thing that scientists are telling us is bad for students? And I'm sitting here on a governing board dais trying to make that decision. And that's not a common scenario, but it's absolutely what's happening with the pandemic.
Right. So, Chris, on a more macro scale here, how are districts handling some of the other mitigation methods that they had to implement last year? And to some extent, I imagine they have to continue this year in terms of distancing, in terms of sanitizing, washing, extra equipment, that kind of thing?
Yeah, they're doing the best they can. We advise districts that the only thing that's been restricted by the legislature is the mask and vaccine issue. Everything else can continue as normal. That means, you know, limiting the number of people on campus who aren't students or staff, sanitizing, distancing where possible, all those things. Even we had a little bit of problem earlier this year about quarantine. We believe that even it's within the district's power to say, you know what, if you've been exposed to COVID and you're not vaccinated, we're going to recommend that you not come to school. Stay home from school if you feel sick. We're going to send you home if you're symptomatic. All those things are in bounds. I mean, we can't, that's sort of the thing that's irritating about this, is that not only has the governor said, oh, we need to encourage vaccination, that's our way out, then he's also turned around and indicated that he does not support policies that would support vaccination. And so those two things together have made things very difficult. But we recommend that districts do everything possible, even strongly recommend masks, you know, imploring students and staff to wear masks if they're not going to go the full, you know, Phoenix Union route.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. That is Chris Cotterman with the Arizona School Boards Association. Chris, good to talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.